Turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, I'd like to begin reading with the 18th verse, and we'll read down through verse number 26. Luke chapter 18, beginning with Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them all, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" Jesus was just saying, you know, he was taking a poll. You know, we have polls all over the place today. Who do the people say that I am? What's being said about me? They, the disciples and others, they answered and said, "John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." He, Jesus, said unto them, now notice this next question. It's a question that's being asked directly to his disciples. But I believe it's a question that Jesus is still asking today. But whom say ye that I am? The answer to that question is going to make a difference in your life. The answer to that question can even determine your eternal destiny. But whom say ye that I am? What do you think of Jesus? Who do you believe Jesus is today? Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." Let's pray. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, I pray that each one of us would earnestly answer the question that has been asked. Who say ye that I am? What do we think of Christ? Who is he to us personally? And Father, this morning we ask that you would guide and direct as we look at your word briefly. I pray, God, that you would meet needs. I pray, dear Father, that you would protect my lips, that I would not speak anything amiss. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jesus had his eyes on and was heading towards the city of Jerusalem. Having finished his Galilean ministry, it's a time of close interaction with his disciples. Of course, as you think of it, from the very time that Christ became man, he had his eyes on the cross. He came for one purpose, and that was to seek and to save those that are lost. He came to die. But here we find that he is coming closer, of course, to the cross that he was to bear. And in verses 18 through verse 21, he teaches as to who Christ is, his person. He's preparing his disciples for what was about to take place. Christ wanted them to know what was going to take place in the very near future. And though Christ had, through the time of his ministry here upon the face of earth, given several hints as to the cross of Calvary, of his upcoming death, this is the first time that he has very directly made a statement concerning his death, the first one given by the Apostle Luke. And having spoken of his own sacrifice, having spoken of his own cross, he gives a challenge to each of us, not just to the disciples that were in front of him, not just to the crowd that was before him, but I believe it's a challenge that he's given to each one of us. Every believer has a cross. He speaks of two deaths here, his own death and the death of each one of his followers, our death. Not necessarily the physical death. You know, we become children of God when we're saved, when we ask him to become our Lord and Savior. But once saved, we are called to be his disciples, to be his followers. You know, a disciple is somewhat like an apprentice. You learn to follow not just by studying, now it's good to study, but also by doing. You might say it's on the job training. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Follow me is what Jesus said. Jesus said that to his disciples, follow me. And Lord is still today calling us to discipleship. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Peter and Andrew were casting nets, and Jesus said, follow me. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, Matthew was sitting at the seat of customs, and Jesus said, follow me. In John chapter 1, verse 43, going into Galilee, he saw Philip, and he said to Philip, follow me. And Jesus is here today, and he is saying to us, follow me. Lord still is issuing that call, the call to follow him. And I want to look at just one verse this morning. And as we do so, I want us to see the Lord giving us several requirements, challenges regarding the matter of discipleship. In verse 23. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If you are going to be a disciple of Christ today, you must make a decision to do so. A decision to follow Christ. If any man. Now, I want to take a step back. There is an initial decision that each one of us need to make. And I believe it's a decision that most of us here today have already made. That's a decision to trust Christ. To trust Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the first step. If you have not made that decision, if you have not asked the Lord to become your Lord and Savior, you need to make that decision this morning. Every believer has made that decision. You know, if you were dying of thirst and water was offered to you, the need was made for you, you have to make the decision to drink it. You need to be willing to follow it. And the matter of your eternal destiny in heaven, salvation has been offered, but have you made the decision to accept it? Every sinner, every person has been provided salvation. Invitation has been given in Revelation chapter 22 and And verse number 17, the invitation is given for anyone can come and accept that free gift of salvation. But have you accepted that invitation? Have you made that decision to trust Christ? If you have, then there is the decision to follow Christ. Become his disciple. To say no to self. And to say yes to Christ. No one follows Christ as a disciple to serve him faithfully unless they make a decision in their heart to do so. To follow the Lord. You know, the Lord will send people into your life. He'll send pastors. He'll send family members. He'll send friends. He'll send evangelists. He'll send missionaries, individuals to encourage you, to support you, to challenge you to follow Christ. But we must yield. If any man will follow me. You know, God, back in the Old Testament, brought the children of Israel to the border of the Promised Land. And through Joshua, challenged to be faithful. In Joshua, in chapter 24, in verses 13 through 15, we see that to be true. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted, not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But notice the last statement that is made here. It says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you made that decision? Are you willing to say with Joshua, I will serve the Lord? Have you made that decision to follow Christ? It's like Isaiah back there in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 when the Lord called and he said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Now, often that is applied to missionaries, which is good. But I believe it's that which is applied to every one of us. Am I willing to say, here am I, use me, send me. There's a little course I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you decided? Have you made that decision? A decision to be Christ's disciple, to follow him. It's a matter of surrender. Surrendering self to the Lord. And so if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, if you're going to be his follower, you need to make that decision to follow Christ. Secondly, there needs to be a desire or a determination to follow Jesus. If any man will, a willing heart, if any man wills to come after me, that word will, to have in mind, to intend, to be resolved or determined, to purpose. You know, we're not robots. The Lord has given us a free spirit. He has not forced us. He does not control us like a machine pushing little buttons and we do this or that. But he works in our lives to help us to be willing. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Many of you know that I was called to into the ministry at an older age. Now, not anything like the age I am now, but I was 34 when the Lord called me into the ministry. And God used a number of people in our church out there in Durango, Colorado, to get me going in the direction he wanted me to go. We had two young couples that we were close friends with at that particular time, and they came and they said, "We're praying the Lord call you into full-time ministry." And I kind of laughed about it. I wasn't particularly desirous to be in full-time ministry as far as a pastor is concerned. We lost our pastor in our church there, and we had a candidate come, and we had a radio program, and I'd been asked to just go out there and play music and give announcements and so forth, and just so we could hold on to that time. It was a good time on the radio Sunday mornings right after DeHaan was on and right before the local news came on, and we thought that was a good time and we wanted to hold on to it. And so I went out and I started doing that. I'd play music and I'd give the announcements of the church, and then pretty soon I started giving a 2 or 3 minute devotion, and pretty soon I started preaching for 10 minutes and giving announcements. But we had a candidate come, a candidate to be our next pastor, and he did become our next pastor. And I took him out to the radio station that morning to be on the radio station to give the message that morning. And on the way back, he turned to me and he said, "Have you ever thought of going into full-time ministry?" And I said, "I know who you're living with. I know who you're staying with." He was staying with one of those two couples who were saying that they were praying for us to go into full-time ministry. And so I figured they just put a bug in his ear. And he said, "No, they haven't said anything." You know, Lord brings people into our lives to encourage us, to challenge us, to do his will in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 20 down through verse 21, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in good in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight." Working in you. And so God works in our lives. He encourages us. He challenges. He uses other people to help us in making that decision. But, you know, we must determine. We must have that desire to follow Jesus. The Lord just wants us to be willing. Wants us to be willing to say, as Isaiah said, "Lord, here am I. Send me." Or to say with the Apostle Paul, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" A willingness, if there is a willingness, it will be rewarded. Paul decided to follow Jesus. He decided to preach the word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." If I do this thing, I have a reward. There is a reward. Might not be in this lifetime, but I trust that it will be. And I know, according to the Word of God, it will be at one time. There is a reward when there is a desire, when there is a determination, when there is a willingness to follow the Lord. So if we're going to be his disciple, first of all, there needs to be decision to follow him. There needs to be desire or determination. And then thirdly, there needs to be a denial of self to follow Jesus. Notice again, "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself." We as individuals, I'm afraid, are not willing to deny ourselves very often. And yet the challenge is, deny ourselves, to disown, to forget, lose sight of one's own self-interest. Surrender. It's a verb which means to utterly, completely surrender one's will, as even Christ did there in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Not my will, but thine be done." Willing to surrender our affections. Willing to surrender our priorities, that the Lord's priorities might take first place in our lives. Many years ago, in fact, a little over 60, I willingly married Doris. And at that point, I willingly denied all else for her, to give myself totally to her, surrender my affections for softball. When we moved to Durango, we had not been Baptists, never been in a Baptist church. And there was a gentleman there, I won't go into the whole story, but he invited us to come to Calvary Baptist there, and we thought these Baptists were crazy. But they had a softball team. Now, the church here has a softball team. It's for the girls. I played fast pitch softball. Now that's softball. But anyway, we get back to where we need to get. But, you know, when I married Doris, I gave up my desire. Well, I didn't give up my desire, but I put softball a little bit further back. I gave myself totally her. I still loved my mom and dad, but they took a back seat to Doris. When the Lord allowed us to have children, and I love them, I still love them. Now he's allowed us to have grandkids and great-grandkids, but they all take second place to Doris. And you know, it ought to be the same way in our life in relationship to Christ. Yes, we can have desires. We can have things that we enjoy doing, things that are profitable in our lives, but they ought to be second place to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, denial can actually be profitable. In Mark chapter 10, we find that to be true, as we are willing to put Christ first. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. You'll never regret surrendering all to the Lord, to follow him, to let him have first place in your life. Self-seeking, rejected. Our own happiness is not the supreme object. I knew of young people in college at the same time I was there. The Lord, they really felt the Lord had called them to a ministry of some type, missionary, pastor, full-time ministry. And the Lord blessed and gave them a good job, began to make good money. And sadly, pretty soon, the call that they thought they had, and probably did have, dwindled away. I think of one particular young man. His dad was an evangelist. He himself had ability as a preacher. He got an excellent job. The Lord just really blessed. Had an excellent job. And it took him away from his desire to serve the Lord. Thankfully, years later, he got back in with the Lord and is serving the Lord today. You know, salvation is free. Discipleship might cost you something. In his mind, Abraham gave his son to be true to the Lord. Disciples willing to leave their occupations to follow the Lord. He might not ask you to leave your job. He might not ask you to move any place. He might allow you to have the desires of your heart to a certain extent. But are we willing to surrender all to follow the Lord? There is no real following of the Lord if there's no self-denial. And then fourthly, if we're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, a death to the world, to self, to follow Jesus. Kind of goes along with what we've already said. You know, the cross is a symbol, an instrument of death, a crucifixion, a part of the sentence that was laid upon Christ was to carry his cross, and Christ did. And for us, it is a willingness to die to our goals, our ambitions. Not wrong to have goals, it's not wrong to have ambitions in our life. But Christ might allow you to fulfill those desires. He might allow you to have fulfill those desires in your life. But the Lord wants us to follow him first. In John chapter 12 and verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will the Father honor. The Lord said to them in this context, that which we can be applied to each one of us, to follow him. He's talking about a corn of wheat. Now, we're in the springtime of the year. A week or so ago, you saw the farmers out there just very busy. They were tilling the soil and they were planting and so forth. They put the seed in the ground, and now you look out even across the road here and you see the corn and the so forth starting to come up. In a few months, you'll see them out here with their big old combines, and they'll be harvesting, and they will harvest much more than what they planted. Many fields will be white unto harvest. And it'll be a particular time that they need to have that harvest. They need to take it in, or else they'll lose it. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Only when Rod Anderson dies that I can live. It's only when I die to self that the Lord can live through me, can use me. Can only be a disciple when ready to take up our cross and follow him. And then fifthly, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross when he feels like it. Now take up his cross daily. Daily follow Jesus. Christianity is full time. You know, we often think of and we comment about people in full time service. Dr. and Mrs. Potter, full-time missionaries, pastor, full-time pastor. You know, we think of full-time individuals who are either pastors or missionaries or maybe Christian school teachers. But Christianity is full-time for everyone. I have a book in my office that I think the title is Secular Work is Full-Time Work for Christ. There is no such thing as part-time work. Most of you know I do have a secular job part-time. I just work a few hours. But Christianity is full-time. Whether you're a pastor, a missionary, a Christian school teacher, a garbage collector, an insurance man, whatever it might be, it's full-time. Let me make a comparison to the physical life. I'm going to ask you all to help me this week. I want you to go home after church today or go to a restaurant and eat. But don't eat again until next Sunday. How many are willing to do that? Oh, you can drink water, but just don't eat. But how often, spiritually, we come and take a meal on Sunday morning and don't eat again until next Sunday? Take up your cross daily and follow me. Does your boss let you come to work just one day a week when you feel like it? As students, can you go to school just when you feel like it, when you want to? I did read an article this past week where they are now saying that teachers cannot deduct grades for students who aren't there on a daily basis. Wasn't that good? Students probably enjoy that. No, they need to be in class on a daily basis. And just like that, we as Christians need to be serving the Lord on a daily basis. The Apostle Paul himself said, I die daily. And we need on a daily basis to die to self. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you made that decision in your life to follow Jesus? Are you willing to daily follow Jesus? Discipleship involves each of the requirements that we mentioned this morning. Christ gave them. Are we willing to pay the price? Yes, salvation is free. And I trust this morning that if you have not accepted that free gift of salvation, that today you would accept that free gift. But discipleship might cost you something. A willingness to daily take up your cross and follow him. Are you willing to pay the price? If you're willing to pay the price, you'll enjoy the blessing. There's no way you're going to outgive God. Take up your cross daily and follow him, and you'll know the blessing of the Lord. Let's pray. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, how thankful we are this morning for the free gift of salvation. And I pray, dear Father, today, if there's one in the service today that has never accepted that free gift of salvation, never made that decision to receive Christ's free gift of salvation, that today they would make that decision. They would come and allow someone to just open the Word of God and show them from God's Word how they might be saved. But I pray, dear Father, this morning, each one of us would search our own hearts. Have we made that decision to follow Jesus? To die to self, to take up our cross daily and follow him. I pray, Lord, that even today there might be that one who would make that decision to follow Jesus. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there might be one here this morning and slip up the hand and put it back down, and by that gesture you'd be saying, Pastor, would you pray along with me this morning? That I would, on a daily basis, make that decision to follow Jesus. Put him before my own desires. You pray for me that I would just make that decision in my life. Yes. Yes. I wonder if there might be that one in our service this morning, slip up the hand, and by that gesture you'd be saying, Pastor, I've never made that decision to accept a free gift of salvation. I'm not sure that if I left this life today, I'd be able to be in the presence of the Lord, but I'm concerned enough about it, I'd ask you to pray for me this morning. We're not going to call you by name. We're not going to try to embarrass you in any way. We're concerned for you. You just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone at all? Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, first of all, for the eternal life that you have provided for us, so rich and so free. And Lord, we thank you this morning that you give us the privilege to serve you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to make that decision, to have that desire, that determination, to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow you. I pray, God, that you would meet needs in each of our lives this day. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.